We're still in the digestion phase of the 2016 season and a run to Game 5 of the American League Championship Series. Today, General Manager Ross Atkins held a media availability en masse and a lot of information coming from the Blue Jays General Manager. Welcome back to the Big Show. Pat Steinberg along with you from Shanks on McLeod Trail South, and very happy to go down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline and welcome in Blue Jays insider Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet.ca. Arden, appreciate you doing this. And before we get into the real specifics as to, you know, some of the news and information we got from the general manager today, just the overall tone, you know, and just kind of your overarching takeaway from hearing Ross Atkins today.
You know, these things are, we kind of refer to them in the business as postmortems because that's kind of what they are. You know, it's kind of a, you look at the body and you try to figure out how it died. And then you try to see what you can do next. So, you know, it certainly had that kind of a tone, but it's interesting. The Blue Jays front office, they can't really do anything until after the World Series is over. They've got a little five-day window there where they can negotiate exclusively with their pending free agents, which they have many, and in which they have to make decisions on qualifying offers. So, you know, they're really very much in a planning and preparation stage right now. You know, they don't even know what their payroll number is going to be like next year. So it would have been tough for Ross Atkins to have a lot of tangible information for us, but we did get some.
Let's and speaking of qualifying offers, let's get right into that. Atkins today saying that, you know, basically confirming he will offer Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion qualifying offers. Before we get into that, what that means for them specifically, can you give us a little bit of kind of an all-round feel as to how the qualifying offer process works in Major League Baseball?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you give a free agent a qualifying offer, which this year will be 1 year around $17 million, that player can either accept it and return to your team for 1 year, or if that player leaves and goes to another franchise through free agency, you receive a draft pick back in a kind of sandwich round between the first round and second round of the drafts. Now, offering a player the qualifying offer doesn't preclude you from discussing a further contract. You know, you look at last year, the Blue Jays offered Marco Estrada a qualifying offer, and then quickly negotiated a 2-year deal with him. So, you know, in the instance of players like Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista, you know, I'd be surprised if they accepted qualifying offers just because they can do so much better on the open market. Where it gets interesting is in the case of players like Estrada, or perhaps this year like Michael Saunders, mm-hmm. who, you know, having draft pick compensation tied to them, you know, meaning that the team in free agency that signs them is going to have to forfeit a draft pick to, you know, to the club that the player is leaving. That can kind of submarine their value a little bit.
And we'll get to Saunders in just a second. It was funny because I've heard a couple of times people bring up the possibility of Bautista specifically maybe accepting a one-year qualifying offer, more so to maybe rebuild his value and then try and hit free agency again. We know that, you know, perhaps Bautista's value not as high as we expected it would be coming out of the 2016 season. How much of a possibility do you see that being?
I think it's very low. Jose Bautista is, you know, even though he didn't have the season that he would have wanted to have, you know, he still demonstrated that he can be a very productive hitter, still hit 22 home runs in a short, you know, in a shortened season. His walk rate was consistent with where it's been throughout his career. You know, I just think that he can do better in free agency, frankly. You know, power play pays in free agency. Mm-hmm. And so for that factor, I think Jose Bautista will do better. Then you also consider that he's turning 36. So, you know, this is clearly the decline of his career. So for him to kind of gamble on himself next year, coming off of the season when, you know, his defense was clearly in decline and when he, you know, just didn't have a season that was up to the standard he'd set for himself before, I mean, his best bet in free agency might be after this year. And then there's also a pride aspect. Jose Bautista, a very proud player, a big Players Association guy, you know, somebody who really wants to maximize his value. I just don't see him accepting a qualifying offer.
On the Encarnacion front, how much competition will there be for the Blue Jays to bring him back, and what type of deal are they going to have to be competing against?
I mean, he's probably going to be the number one, number two power bat, or just bat, period, on the market. So there's going to be a lot of teams that are involved with that. And, you know, with Edwin Encarnacion, he he doesn't necessarily have to only go to an AL team to be a DH. I mean, he can play first base as well. So if you're an NL team with an opening at first base, I mean, he can be an option for you. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, he's 33, but, I mean, he just had a monster year. His home runs have been consistent. You know, his plate approach consistent. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, get up into the 4 or 5 year range at usually over $20 million, maybe even north of 25. You know, maybe a team even goes to 26, 27, $28 million per. So, you know, you're getting up into, you know, a pretty large contract here. And I kind of, you know, I believe the market is just going to carry Edwin Encarnacion away from Toronto and push, you know, what it'll take to get a deal done into a territory that this front office is not comfortable with.
Arden Zwelling with us from Sportsnet.ca this afternoon. You touched on Michael Saunders, had a great year, an all-star performance, but we all know some limitations in terms of where you want to play him in the lineup. What do you see Saunders' future being with the Blue Jays?
You know, I don't know if he has a future with the Blue Jays, to be honest with you. I don't expect the team to bring him back. You know, the thing with him is he certainly wants to be back and he wants to play for the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm not sold on there being mutual interest there. And, you know, that could change. We know that the Blue Jays are looking to add left-handed hitting to their lineup. And Michael Saunders is really their only kind of consistent everyday left-handed hitter this year. So, you know, if the Blue Jays aren't able to add left-handers, maybe they say, well, you know, Michael Saunders, maybe this is our guy. But, you know, the first thing that they're going to do is make a decision on whether to offer him a qualifying offer or not. And, you know, I asked Ross Atkins about it directly. And he said, we're still considering that, which is interesting because, you know, the Blue Jays really, they have all the information they're going to get on Michael Saunders. They've seen him. You know, they know what his numbers were this year. They know what his career has been. They know, you know, who the free agent outfielders are going to be. So they know what market's going to be like. So, you know, they really just have to make that decision. And, you know, I think that there's a pretty good chance that if the Blue Jays offer Michael Saunders a one-year, $17 million qualifying offer, I bet you Michael Saunders would take that. And if he indicates he's going to take it, then maybe you have to get into a scenario where, okay, well, let's kind of negotiate a two-year deal then to kind of bring down the annual average value, or let's see what we want to get into. So, you know, it's not the sexiest transaction out there, but it's going to be one of the more interesting situations for me to monitor over the next month.
Now, one thing that we do have a little bit more clarity on is the future of Jason Grilley. Ross Atkins called picking up his option pretty much a no-brainer today. Was it as much of a no-brainer for you, though?
Yeah, I mean, it's only $3 million, which is so, so affordable, just considering what he can bring. You know, if he can be what he was for the Blue Jays this year, which was a guy with, you know, about a 3.5 ERA out of the bullpen, who pitched some very high leverage innings and had a really good strikeout rate, I mean, $3 million for that, that's money. You know, you do that every single time. You know, the concern with Jason Grilley is that he's about to turn 40. So, you know, he is certainly getting up there in age, and who knows how many, you know, how much gas is left in the tank. But I think with what he showed you this year, it's certainly worth a look for just $3 million. Think about the Blue Jays paid Franklin Morales this year $2 million to basically not pitch for them. So, you know, $3 million in the world of baseball just isn't a lot. And the other added benefit that Jason Grilley gives you, he's really, really strong in the clubhouse. He's a leader, a real veteran, a real mentor for young pitchers, of which the Blue Jays have several. So he's a really strong presence to have around. So I think I agree with Ross Atkins. Really is a no-brainer.
More importantly for us out here, he's a former member of the Calgary Cannons, so that's even,
right.
even more important. Ross Atkins said today, admitted what we all knew, they need to substantially upgrade their bullpen this winter. What type of upgrades are we talking about? What are some of the possibilities here?
There's really a lot. You know, you can look internally to guys like, you know, Danny Barnes, who could play a role, or, you know, who knows, maybe even a Connor Green, who's kind of one of the Blue Jays' top prospects. Maybe he'll be ready for that kind of role next year. You could look to the Rule 5 draft, which is where the Blue Jays got Joe Biagini last year. You know, they've had some success there, so maybe there'll be someone available there. And then free agency. There's no shortage of relievers available in free agency. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see just how far the Blue Jays are willing to go in the reliever market, you know, if they do go that way. Because we've seen reliever salaries, and especially the terms of their contracts, really go up significantly lately, and not just for closer types, but for, you know, some of the eighth inning guys. You know, we're looking at Brett Cecil, you know, lefty from the Blue Jays, is going to be hitting free agency. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he got a 3-year deal. You know, so you really do have to pay a premium sometimes when you're going through free agency to get these back-end bullpen types. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the Blue Jays attack that. Ross Atkins did say it's an area they need to improve significantly. And, you know, you have to agree with them because you look at it, you know, Roberto Osuna and Jason Greeley are in there for sure. Joe Biagini might be tried as a starter next year,
yeah.
Which removes that option. And then Joaquin Benoit and Brett Cecil are both heading into free agency. So there isn't a lot of depth there. So it certainly is an area they're going to have to look at.
That Biagini note is interesting. You mentioned they picked him up in the Rule 5 draft. He was great for them down the stretch and certainly such a huge option for them in the postseason. Is that how you see it playing out? Are we talking about him as a starter to start the season next year?
I think they're going to try it in spring training and kind of see how it goes. I think it'll just kind of be a spring training experiment because, you know, you can always go one way with, you know, if you stretch a guy out as a starter, you can always bring him back to be a reliever. But if you start a guy as a reliever, it's much harder to convert him into a starter. So, in spring training, you see how it goes. You see what he can do. He's certainly got the pitch mix for it. You know, he's got 5 pitches that he can throw for strikes. And he commands really well. You know, he'll certainly have to take a bit of a hit on his velocity if he's going to hold up for 90 to 100 pitches. So maybe that 96 mile an hour becomes 93, 94, that fastball, which will be interesting to see how that plays off of his changeup and off of his cutter and his other pitches and his breaking stuff. So I think it'll be an interesting experiment to watch. The nice thing is that, you know, Joe Biagini is now a Blue Jay for good. You know, now that 1 year Rule 5 period where he had to be on the Blue Jays major league roster is over with. So if Blue Jays want to kind of stretch that experiment into the regular season, they could send him to Buffalo to kind of be the number 6 starter on the depth chart and let him start there and work out the kinks and then come up to the majors and help out if there's an injury or you back someone off or what have you. So that would give the Blue Jays flexibility, but it's also hard to look at a guy who, you know, was so good for you out of your bullpen this year and really showed, like, late-inning, high-leverage stuff in a lot of spots, especially in the playoffs where he was trusted quite a bit. You know, a guy with a 3.06 ERA as a reliever this year, it's pretty hard to turn down those innings out of the bullpen. So it'll be interesting to see what the Blue Jays do.
And just one more pitching note. Basically confirmed the ship has sailed on Roberto Osuna ever moving into a starting role. That was confirmed today.
Yes, that's what Ross Atkins said. I mean, he's just done it for so long as a reliever. It'd be really hard to stretch him back out again. I mean, if they wanted to do it, they needed to this year kind of use him as like an Andrew Miller, Dylan Patances type, you know, and use him for two innings a piece and really get his innings pitched up, you know, to 90 or 100. They didn't do that. And the other factor is that Roberto Osuna wants to be a closer, and he wants to fill that spot. And he's so good at it that, hey, you know, take care of it. Let him do it. And that spot on your roster is taken care of, and you can focus on other areas.
Just a couple more with Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet.ca, and this on the coaching side of things. One, basically same coaching staff back next year. What's the one change that we'll see for the Blue Jays?
So Eric Owens, who was the assistant hitting coach this year to Brooke Jacoby, Eric Owens will not be back. The Blue Jays, because I felt that his role was kind of redundant and was kind of already being filled by Brooke Jacoby, and I think the Blue Jays want to replace Eric Owens with more of an all-around offensive coach, so not just hitting, but also, you know, base running and things like that. You know, somebody who is just a bit more all-encompassing than just strictly hitting at the plate. So, you know, I think the Blue Jays are going to start the process of interviewing for that soon and should see an announcement at some point over the winter just who that will be.
Final thought, Ross Atkins today confirmed that there have been discussions started about extending John Gibbons beyond the final year of his contract, which he enters in 2017. Gibbons is not the guy that Atkins and Shapiro hired. You know, he is an inherited manager. Is he a potential long-term option here as manager? Do you see him remaining with the team beyond 2017?
Well, it's interesting, Pat, because, you know, when you get these forced marriages, you never know how they're going to go. And I think that Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro were maybe even a little caught off guard with how well it went. And, you know, John Gibbons has shown a willingness to be very collaborative, very welcoming of different ideas. You know, he makes the final call on a lot of baseball decisions on the field, as he should. But he certainly listens to everybody, and everybody kind of has a voice. And he's been willing to, you know, run stuff up to the analytics department. If you're thinking about, you know, a different batting order configuration, he'll go and talk to those guys about it, which isn't something you're going to get from a lot of kind of old school, you know, hardline managers. So I think that the Blue Jays front office is definitely impressed with that, and also the way that you look at this clubhouse. There's a lot of personalities in there. You look at Jose Bautista, Josh Donaldson, Troy Tulowitzki, and not even just kind of the big veteran personalities, but also the young kids who are on this team as well. Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman, Devin Travis. There's a lot of personalities to manage there and a lot of people management to do. And John Gibbons really excelled at that this year, you know, in September, when it kind of looked like the wheels were falling off of the bus, you know, he was able to pull things back around. And the Blue Jays went on a 6-game winning streak, you know, into the postseason that got them to the ALCS. So, you know, if John Gibbons could continue to do those things and excel at them, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be a long-term fit here. But, as soon as the team starts losing a lot, I mean, the manager is always going to be on the hot seat.
Arden, great stuff. Appreciate you doing this. I know a busy day for you. Enjoy the off season. I'm sure that we'll check in with you multiple times throughout the winter. But thanks so much for doing this today.
Pat, as you know, there is no off season. It is always on.
It's true. So we'll probably be tapping you again. Thanks, man.
Take it easy.
He's Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet.ca, one of our Blue Jays insiders. Joins us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Delight in a flame-grilled burger and choose from over 30 gourmet toppings. Satisfy your cravings with South Street Burger. Better burgers, fries, shakes.